I bring you greetings from the Primate of Nigeria, who just before I boarded the aircraft called me and he asked where I was going, and I said I was coming to All Souls, and he says I should greet everybody and particularly greet my brother and friend Hugh Palmer, who have given me a very good time of rest since I arrived on Friday. I am very, very grateful for the few days of quiet before I go back on Tuesday. So if I get down the pulpit and say nothing, just remember that I'm grateful for a few days of quiet. It's been very fascinating. I want to begin with two stories, really, because wherever I go, people hear that I'm from Jos. They're worried about, are you safe? Is everything going well? Northern Nigeria, we hear all those stories. All of it is true. But God has put me to lead a group of people that are just incredibly courageous. They're doing wonderful things. One of them, of course, is Gloria, who in the middle of all of that, she's doing something I never dreamt about. My dream was that in a few years when we retire, I will have a small house with an area of a studio where I can do some recordings and sing and teach through video. And I also had a plan to buy myself a sports car since all the children would have gone anyway. So I would just, so that when I'm invited to preach, I'll just zoom off. And when the crisis began, actually this began when, first of all, we were attacked. She was the casualty. I was here in England taking a retreat with some Soma group. And then I was asked to lead it. So with an extension of a day, I missed out on going back home. So I called Gloria to say I wasn't coming. But whoever those who wanted to kill me knew about my coming back. So they came exactly timing my return and didn't meet me. So she was the victim. And she was left half dead, blinded. And she was blinded for nearly six months. Series of operations and she recovered. When she recovered and came back, the crisis in Jos had gone very bad. And she couldn't stand the fact that children were abandoned. So she started by feeding them first of all. And I agreed to that. Then a little later she said, the children are increasing in number. They were now getting to 50, 100 who were helpless, orphans. And then she said, but they need a school. So by the time I traveled and came back, she had bought a piece of land. So she now said, there's a piece of land. Could you give me some money so that I can build some feeding center just for feeding them? And I thought that was a great idea. Let's feed the children and then they can go away. So we built a feeding center. She said, no, we need a classroom. And then another classroom and then another classroom and then a laboratory and then another field, a football field and all of that. So all my money has gone in there, and the more we built, the more children she brought in, and then the very, very vulnerable ones she brought into the house. And that's what she's doing. She's now addicted to it. And I have to tell her that, look, in a few years, we're going to grow older, and it's not like in your Western culture, you know. In our own culture, it's very funny. I hope you'll understand how very stupid this sounds. The children are so many and you're screaming, Nehemiah, where are you? James, who's playing the ball at the back there? And who's the other one? And then one who said, Daddy, the pipe has broken. I mean, who broke it again? And, you know, you're just like a madman screaming at so many of the children. And when you need something, you have to start calling about 10 names before one responds. And I said, we're getting older, so how do we manage? She said, well, you know what? When we build the hostels, we also will live with them. That's how I knew that certainly they're going to be more than 400, because now I am doomed to a hostel. So, but the second thing you need to know is that despite all of that, the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be stopped. In November, every time things are going to happen like this, I have to travel. I was preaching in the U.S. By the time I came back, I didn't meet Gloria at home. She had taken all the pastors' wives to a village for 3 days, and they've planted 2 churches in 3 days. And I said to her, Gloria, where will I get pastors to look after? She said, well, that's your problem. I've started 2 churches. There. A month before then, before I traveled, Mark, my director of missions, himself and my son, I think they started another church on the road from Zaria. He saw these children as they were, he went to travel, and when he was coming, he saw children under the tree, and he went and sat with them to ask them. And this is in Plateau State. This is in northern Nigeria. These children are there, 140 of them, none of them goes to school. Mark couldn't take it, so he invited my son. They went and they started a school under a tree. They brought me 4 photographs and told me the story. So my principle, which I learned from CMS, I am by and large a CMS missionary, is that, okay, let's make use of what we've got. So since I joined the ministry, that's what I've always done. We mold the bricks, mud bricks, we mold them, and we ask the community to do that, and they do it, and we ask them to build it. We build it together with my design, and then I source for the funds to roof it. So next week, we'll be roofing 5 classrooms in Abomisa. The work of God is going on. In the middle of that is the Christian Institute, which was a gift of God, where we now found that we're training people who will lead the church in this generation and next, mostly young people. Indeed, from the graduates of the Christian Institute since we started, there are now 6 bishops in the Church of Nigeria who are graduates of the Institute. So we see God at work. Towards the end of my sharing, I will tell you yet another story, because the text that was read to us by Paul brings a couple of things to mind that I would like us to consider. Romans chapter 12 from verse 17 largely to 21. And I will look at that as a call to be a Christian in a hostile world, living the gospel of Jesus Christ in a hostile world. And if you will, please pray with me. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we sit today at table with you, asking to be fed, to be nourished, that your word will be for us the bread of life, and that we, being nourished by your word, may live out your word according to your will, to change this world for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And the world which Paul wrote the letter to Romans was not much different to our world today. Christian religion was a new movement at that time, and it was viewed with suspicion, with misunderstanding and hatred in some quarters. In fact, in the north of Nigeria, there was a time there was an eclipse. And particularly in Borno State, the Christians were blamed for the eclipse and many of them were killed. So the faith that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ is held with suspicion in some quarters around the world. And so it was when Paul wrote this letter. Paul introduces himself to this young church in Rome, and he gives them three things to introduce himself. Firstly, he says, he has a living relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is true. He encountered Christ on the road to Damascus. And he says it all the time. And I encourage Christians to share their testimony with their children, with their relatives, with anybody, every time. Never you forget the day you turn to Jesus Christ. Never. Always remind yourself of your conversion, of your commitments, and what happened that you became born again. Say it. Share it. Because that's all you've got. That's all you have. If you have no conversion testimony, if you have no personal encounter with Jesus Christ, you can come to church, and it's very good to do so. Especially when you give the offerings, because as a pastor, I'll take it. But listen, friends, you would have wasted your time if you do not seek to know the Lord to whom you are giving your time and money to. Paul says in chapter 1, my Lord and my Savior called me into ministry. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, a servant of the gospel. And his mission is to get this gospel to the whole world. That's why we're saved. That's why we're saved. We're saved to serve the ministry of the gospel to the whole world. And Jesus has asked us to come into this business by saving us into a hostile world. A world that is hostile to the gospel. And Paul explains and expounds from the chapters 1 through to 11. By chapter 12, he launches an appeal to Christians who have received the gospel to not only be transformed, as the gospel does do, the gospel transforms us. If you doubt it, ask my mother. I mean, the day I came back home from Lagos, and I said to my mom, she's heard that I've been saved, because all from the first 17 years of my growing, she we didn't know whether we wished one another who would die first. I'm one of those children that came in with everything that a child should come with. I didn't miss anyone. And my mother was quite confused when I came back. As a born-again Christian, I was by now gentle, my hair cut, tucking my shirt, very unusually, she saw that, and she was pretty worried, she thought maybe something was wrong. But now I said to her, Mama, I think the Lord is calling me into ministry. And for an African woman, she put her hands on the head. That means this is a serious business. Yeah. And she said to me, Benji, I'm glad that you are saved, but please, 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 not church. You can be a member, but I don't think church wants people. You will scatter things in the church. Please, just stay all right in the church. You're fine. Conversion. Yes, there is transformed life. But more than that, what God is looking for to do with the gospel is that we who are transformed by the gospel to become agents of transforming the world, changing the world, changing London, changing Nigeria, changing everywhere to conform to God. Firstly, by offering our bodies to be a living sacrifice. By we ourselves offering ourselves to God to say, Lord, use me. And we do sing it. Use me, Lord, use me. And several people have offered themselves and died. Tyndale, Cranmer, many people. They gave themselves. Missionaries who came to my own home country from Cambridge died even without preaching. Before they could preach one person, they died. The most touching of those stories was the two brothers, Dr. Fox and his brother, Reverend Fox. They died. In my home, their graves are there. And the message was brought back to their parents to say, well, your two children have died. CMS had to report you. And the parents cried. But they went over somewhere in England here and sold their portion of land from their inheritance. And the proceeds they brought back to CMS and said, much as we grieve the death of our two sons, we can only be consoled if the mission for which our children died continues. I'm a product of that. When you offer yourself a living sacrifice, you have done the best offering you can ever do in your life. Because you're no longer your own. If you died, you went to be with the Lord. If you didn't die, you are in the Lord's business. Either way, you lose nothing. But secondly, Paul says, be not only transformed, but not only offer yourself, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Because a mindset in a modern world is a difficult thing. There's a lot of reasoning to do. To say, well, yes, I'll go on mission field, but... Because there's a lot of reasoning to do. Mindset. Oh, yeah, it's okay for those people in Kathmandu, in Pakistan, you know, those Christians. Oh, poor them. But, you know, couldn't they run away? Couldn't they do something? Mindset. Paul is talking to the mind here. We'll get there shortly. But the third thing Paul says is that you must make the will of God your delight. Make the will of God your delight. So three things very quickly from our text, having looked at that background. The first one, verse 17, Paul says, repay evil with good. Repay evil with good. Now bear in mind that the normal mindset for us is we repay evil for evil. Even if we don't do it, we wish it. In your mind you say, this is silly. But you've said it. You wish it. Paul says, the believer, who's a transformed believer and an agent of transformation, shows to the world another way to react to evil. Repay evil with good. The way of repaying evil is the normal way in the world, but it's not the way of the gospel and not the way of the life of the children of Jesus Christ. A Christian who is a child of God is called to be like Jesus, serving everybody, bearing the marks of a true child of God as we have sinned. In verse 9, his heart is full of genuine love. He's eager to do good. He's honoring other people. He's zealous and hardworking, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord in all humanity and all circumstances, always rejoicing in all the situations. He's rejoicing, thanking God. And the devil is wondering, how can we ever get to this guy? We've taken his children, he's still rejoicing. We've taken his house, he's still rejoicing. We've denied them food, they're going to starve, they're still rejoicing and thanking God. Oh yes, but that is the inner walking of a transformed life. Patient in tribulation and constant in prayer. But in verse 19, the second thing, the believer that Paul is calling, who will transform the world, secondly, is to leave vengeance to God. Much of the world is full of injustice. Injustice abounds everywhere in life around the world. It does not seem that justice will come soon. Does it? In all my life in Nigeria, I have given up on any government to help me. Completely. I don't see how any government can. I provide my own water everywhere I go. I dig my holes. I dig the wells. I provide my water. I live on generator. Gloria homeschooled the children from age zero to 12 before they went off to secondary schools. I paid all their school fees through university. I look after myself, I look after my children, I look after other people. So I don't trust any government. They can speak all the wonderful language, I leave it to God. They don't protect me. 1987, as a young pastor, my house was burnt. I was going to be killed. My church was burnt, destroyed. The government did nothing. 1990, I was going to be killed. The government did nothing. 2006, the government did nothing. 2007, the government... So, the injustice of the world is massive. And I have come to see that there is no justice. The only place I can find justice is to leave that vengeance to God. It is very important to leave vengeance to God. Paul says, the only way to stop evil of injustice is not to perpetuate it, not to revenge. Because the very instruments and architects of evil and injustice will one day come to a point of human need. And you might well be just the person to help them. They will come to ask for your prayers. Pray for them. Their children will come for food. Feed them. They'll come for water. Give them water to drink. They'll come for clothing. Clothe them. Shelter them. Give them kindness. Didn't Jesus say that in Matthew 5? He did. The only way to change the world is not taking vengeance, but on leaving vengeance to God. And this is true whether it's in family's context or any context. Finally, Paul says, overcome evil with good. Verse 21, our last verse there. And this is a call to a most radical expression of the Christian response to evil in the world. Always and consistently seeking good for everyone across race, across tribe, gender, nationality, and age. I was interviewed once. And the interviewer was saying, well, you know, what do you advise government to do? I said, the only thing I will advise government to do is to provide security for everybody, not for select people. If they do that, we'll be able to change Nigeria and indeed change the world. He says, well, but there is poverty. What do you do with poverty? I said, no. I have the cure to poverty. The gospel cures poverty. I have seen it, I have lived it, and I understand it. Because in my heart is love. Nothing but love. The Christian who has experienced the regeneration of Jesus Christ, who has laid down his life as a living sacrifice for God to use, the Christian who has opened up himself to please God and allowed the will of God to be his or her delight, such a Christian has so much to offer to anybody. So much. And believe me, my friends, the young people who are working with me and some of those who are in the students of the Christian Institute are not waiting for the persecution in northern Nigeria to stop. They are willing to go back into the north because they know what to do. They know how to provide clean water. They know how to provide community development. They know how to give some basic health assistance. They have so much to offer to a needy world right now. So much, my friends. One of my pastors, I asked him to, we started a congregation in Rayfield in Jos, and Rayfield, the main area is Mayadiko. And Mayadiko was a British mining settlement. And when they left, a few Fulani and Hausa community who are Muslim lived, but also the larger community there is the indigenous non-Muslim group. In the crisis in Jos, I asked my pastor to ensure that no retaliation happened to the small Muslim community. In God's grace, it was so. For nearly 10 years, they were safe. But apparently, they got to know that we were praying and always calling for help to protect them. So no blood was shed in that place. At Christmas, 6 years ago. Yes, I think 6 years ago. They bought a cow and brought as a gift to the church. So the pastor said, my Lord Bishop, these people have brought a cow for us to share. I said, that's good, take it. When it was their Salah time, I said, buy 5 rams. And take it to them. When he did that, they now sat with him and told him their problems. In the whole of that Hausa community, they don't have a single graduate. They don't even have someone who has gone a little above secondary school. And most of their children don't go to school. They ask for help. And I said, how many can I take? He began by giving me 48 of those Muslim kids. Right now, I have 16 of them in secondary schools that I pay for, and over 98 in primary schools. And the parents don't care if the children read the Bible. In fact, they encourage you. They don't think, because 2 of them are in St. Christopher's high school. And we said, well, the rule in St. Christopher's is you've got to have a hymn book, a prayer book, and a Bible. They said, oh yes, Bishop, please. Because they've seen a love that is different. We don't know if the Lord will give grace to any of them to believe, but we pray for it. Is what the Bible asking us to do difficult? Let's be honest, it is. And it will be difficult even if more so if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord. Even if you know Jesus Christ as Lord, it will still be difficult, my friends. But you can start today with a change of mind. And say, Lord Jesus, I surrender. take me and use me any way you choose. And you say, Lord Jesus, not only take me and use me, change my mind, transform me. Because for you to be an agent of transformation, you must yourself be transformed. If you're not, it will be too difficult. It will be difficult, but now too difficult. And thirdly, surrender and say, Lord, let your will alone be done. Not the will of my dad, not the will of my nation, not the will of anybody, but your will alone. And every time you make that decision, in all honesty, God will honor it. God will use it. And God will bless you and bless other people for it. I'm also struggling, my friends. I'm by no means perfect. There are times I felt, Lord, 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 why? But every time I remember, Father, take me and use, He opens opportunities and He uses me. And believe me, my friends, God can use you, and He's looking for people in England to use. He is. I trust that you will be that one, or even all of us. Let us pray. How we thank you, dear God, for laying before us your word, and only your word is the truth. And I ask that you will take your word to bless into our hearts, that what we this day have heard with our ears may assimilate and allow it to be grafted inwardly into our hearts to bear fruits, O God, of good living to your glory. And we pray that your word this day will multiply to change the world. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.